With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
In 13 minutes, should the Redskins trade Trent Williams? I think they should today. Grant and Danny on the Fan, welcome back. Sean Doolittle coming up in 40 minutes. Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports, the Eye on NFL blog, joins us throughout the season. Always like having him on, and he's on the Mattress Warehouse hotline right now. Ryan, there are two games this weekend with a 20-plus point spread. And the classes are growing in the NFL at this point. Curious to get your thoughts on whether or not we're seeing the NFL become a little bit more like the NBA. You've also got players holding out more, demanding trades. Just feels like there's a trend here that we're either paying attention to or we're not.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is pretty amazing that we're talking about these double-digit point spreads week three into the season. And if you're the Patriots, you like the Patriots, I feel like. We saw what they did last week to the Dolphins. And I think part of the issue, Grant, is that teams like the Dolphins are in rebuild mode, and it's just a matter of do you appreciate the way they're going about trying to rebuild things. It seems maybe heavy-handed in what Miami's trying to do, but at the end of the day, if they have a plan, or I think they have a plan, this is how it's going to work, we'll see. But it is interesting. But I also do wonder, so there have been little tweaks. The Cowboys, we saw them play the Redskins this weekend. They have a new offensive coordinator, and suddenly things come together. We know why the Patriots are good. We know why the Chiefs are good, but after that, I'm not sure if there are truly really, really good football teams, but there seems to be a lot of bad football being played through 2 weeks. Much worse, it feels like, anecdotally, than what we saw last year.
Ryan, I think for us, for just the schlubs that talk about this sport a lot, looking inside, I think we said, yeah, Le'Veon Bell, that was kind of dumb. He sacrificed some money. He sort of pouted. He could have played football, then ultimately gotten more money, etc. I think the players, by and large, looked at what he did as a win because he got to pick where he wanted to go. And I think that opened the floodgates because it's not just guys on bad teams wanting out. It's Jadeveon Clowney for what we look like because a pretty good Houston team finding a way to get out. And I think now that's something that more and more players are going to start to do. So to Grant's comment about it being more like the NBA, quote unquote, I do think that's something that happened. Buy or sell that?
No, I mean, that makes sense, Danny. And the funny thing is, as recently as a year ago, I was one of the many people who said this wasn't original, but the only player that really has any leverage on a football team is the quarterback, and that has changed. And I think a lot of times, as you point out, it starts with Le'Veon Bell. I do wonder if Le'Veon Bell regrets playing for the Jets. If he had picked another team, maybe he'd be happier about that. But in retrospect, he did the absolute right thing, and it prompted Zeke Elliott to do that. We're going to see Jalen Ramsey get traded very soon. Minkah Fitzpatrick just got traded. These are defenders. Jadeveon Clowney, you just mentioned. A year ago, this doesn't happen with quarterbacks, and previously, it's not even thinking about it, but that's how important these young players have figured out their worth is. And if a team is looking to rebuild or they don't want to pay this player, then their hand is somewhat forced. And look, I'm all for that. I'm all for players getting paid as much as they can, especially in a league where the contracts aren't guaranteed.
Ryan Wilson on Grant and Danny. You mentioned the Dolphins. They trade Minkah Fitzpatrick yesterday for a first-round pick. So in 2020, they'll have three first-rounders, Steelers and Texans in their own. They'll have the Saints' second rounder. They'll have a comp pick in the third. They'll have the Titans' fourth rounder, a comp pick in the fifth, Cowboys pick in the sixth. In 2021, they've got the Texans' first and second. They are loaded up pretty good. I know people hate, quote-unquote, tanking. I think they'll be good before teams like the Redskins, who neglect to do that, will be.
My only concern, Grant, is that do they know what they're doing? Because, yeah, you mentioned all the picks they have, and it looks great on paper. This is also the same outfit that traded a second-round pick for Josh Rosen and decided 2 weeks later they're going to have to draft Tua or whomever they want to take with the number one pick in a few months. So why blow that second-round pick? Why does Brian Flores take this job, the new head coach? I have a lot of questions. And we've seen teams in the past have this sort of draft capital or something close to it. The Browns did it, and the Browns are historically terrible. Just last year, a few months ago, the Raiders had three first-round picks. We'll see how that works out. I don't think they're a very good football team right now. Maybe they will improve. But a lot has to go right. And also, you're getting rid of Minkah Fitzpatrick, who would be the first defensive back taken in probably the 2020 draft, this upcoming draft, and you're going to replace him with what down the line when you rebuild? So, I mean, they're doing a 53-man roster overhaul. How long does that take is my question, and can they make it work in a division where Tom Brady might play five more years? So I understand in theory what they're doing. In practice, I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off.
At Ryan Wilson, CBS, a great follow on the Twitterverse if you like the foosballs. Speaking of trades, I don't know what the Redskins are doing with Trent Williams. I don't know if they feel like it's a loss for them somehow if they trade him and get something for him. Here's where I'm at on this, Ryan. And again, I want you to agree, disagree, give me your thoughts. If he was healthy and playing, I would trade him because you can get some good value for a team that isn't going anywhere. Now you add in the fact that he seems to hate the Redskins' guts or certain elements of the Redskins. I would absolutely trade this guy today. There's commodity. There's a market for it. What are they doing? What's the deal?
I agree with you. I mean, the Cleveland Browns are a prime landing spot for someone like Trent Williams. They're a team with playoff aspirations. They finally won a football game after starting slow. Their left tackle situation is in flux, and the Redskins are sitting on their hands. So I don't know what the plan is. To the Redskins' credit, they have been okay in these first two games. I thought they were going to be a much worse football team. So they've sort of duct-taped it together. But if there's no plan for Trent Williams beyond him sitting on his couch, why not move on from him? And there's a market, and we're seeing that teams are willing to give up first-round pick for players they deem important, whether it's a wide receiver like Amari Cooper last year, whether it's a slot cornerback like Minkah Fitzpatrick we saw yesterday. So, I mean, a team that has a bunch of needs, left tackle being one of them, the Redskins seem like they're just sitting on what could potentially be a gold mine, and reasons to me why they're doing that are unclear.
What do you expect to see from Daniel Jones as the Giants turn their offense over to him this weekend?
A much younger, faster, sort of up-paced version of Eli Manning. He's much more athletic. He has a better arm. There's no reason he shouldn't have started from day one, and I think it's sort of surprised that it happened in week two only because it sounded like Gettleman and Shermer were tied to Eli Manning for longer than that. But I think you don't draft a guy 6th overall and then watch a quarterback play terribly for two games and not go to that quarterback. I think it makes sense that the Redskins aren't hustling Dwayne Haskins out there. Case Keenum hasn't been terrible, but Eli Manning has been, and we know he has been. And I always go back to this. Eli Manning was once benched for Geno Smith. That is all you need to know in the conversation about why he no longer has a job. And he's had a great career, two Super Bowls and all that. But also, his career record is 116-116. I think Daniel Jones makes a ton of sense. The football team is not very good. He's not going to magically fix everything. But if he's your future, put him out there and let's see what happens.
Bigger picture, some of the older quarterbacks around this league, whether replaced, we mentioned Manning, or injured, Ryan. Did you have a bigger picture feel to this past weekend with, you know, Roethlisberger going down and Drew Brees going down? It's almost like symbolic, like it's time for the next class, whoever that happens to be, to sort of step in.
No, that's right. Eli and Ben were in the same draft class. We talked about Drew Brees. What does his future hold? To a lesser degree, Nick Foles was injured in week one. So a lot of franchise quarterbacks that these players that teams have built their 2019 plans around are out of the picture. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. Part of me is sort of curious to see what do the Saints and what do the Steelers look like without their mainstay under center. And you get an idea of just how good a coach will Sean Payton be, just how good of a coach will Mike Tomlin be, and it makes things a little more interesting from that viewpoint. I'm sure their fan bases aren't happy, but we'll see what Mason Rudolph and Teddy Bridgewater can do and whether these teams can hang on. Honestly, I think the Steelers are done. I think the Saints have a better chance of hanging on in that division. After the bye, I think they have four straight NFC South games. So if Drew Brees is back by then and they get hot, maybe there's a chance they can hang around there, but the Steelers have a lot of work to do.
Jalen Ramsey going to get traded?
Yeah. The hysterical thing is he asked for a trade yesterday. The news broke yesterday. They play on Thursday. So if it doesn't happen immediately, there's a chance he's out there on the field. I don't know what the Jaguars' plans are either. I know that Jalen can be prickly, but he deserves to be the highest-paid cornerback and one of the highest-paid cornerbacks. And it just doesn't seem like a good fit. And I think it all came to a head on the sidelines last Sunday when he seemed to be ready to attack Doug Marrone and had to be held back.
Ryan, thank you as always, buddy. Appreciate the time. Enjoy your Tuesday.
Thank you, guys.
See you,
love
buddy.
Hopping around the league with Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports. Danny asked about Trent Williams. Let's get into the ongoing holdout. It started in July. It's now mid-September. Week three on the horizon and still no Williams, despite a bunch of reports and people saying he could be showing up last week, this week. Hadn't happened. Is it time to trade the frustrated offensive tackle?
Speaking of trades, how about 120% Kelly Blue Book value for your trade-in? Huh? Tedbert Ford, go see him. Here's what's going to happen. You'll go Tedbert Ford in Fairfax or Chantilly, and you'll enjoy the experience. You'll get good value for your trade-in on the daily, as I suggested, right? 120% for Kelly Blue Book value. Then, when you buy from Tedbert Ford, new, pre-owned, doesn't matter. Anything less than 100,000 miles, you get Tedbert for life. That's confidence for life, lifetime vehicle coverage, including powertrain, an amazing service loaner program, battery replacement, windshield repair, tire fill, complimentary Virginia inspection, all for life. Tedbert Ford's been doing it this way for a few years. In fact, 60 years. That's right, celebrating 60 years in business, taking care of folks just like you and me in the D.C. area. And some pretty good specials going on as well. How about $7,900 off the MSRP and no payments for 60 days on a Ford Ranger? How about $9,000 below MSRP? No payments for 60 days on a new Mustang. You can be like that dumb Danny soundbite where you talk about owning a Mustang, right? $9,400 off the MSRP and no payments for 60 days on a 2019 Ford Explorer. Point of the dude's story is, go see my guys at Tedbert Ford, save some money, get a great car, love the experience. Tell them Danny sent you.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Thank you, as always, for listening to the show. Go to our Facebook page to vote on Redskins Survivor because it is Tuesday, and that means we got to send somebody home.
I just did it. Facebook.com/Grant and Danny.
You got to give somebody immunity. We'll tell you who we're voting for a little later in the show. But in the meantime, Facebook.com/Grant and Danny every Tuesday. So last week, week one, after going for a bill in his debut, Terry McLaurin won immunity. He will not be kicked off, although he wouldn't be anyway because he might have been the bright spot again in week two, a reoccurring theme. Josh Norman was voted off the island. Week two, votes being calculated as we speak. Dar will make the announcement as to who's immune and who's going home at 1:55 today. Looking forward to catching up with Sean Doolittle at 11:45. One of the things we can ask him about in 25 minutes is the scary developing story that is Dave Martinez's health.
Yeah, goodness gracious, man.
Before we get into Trent Williams, I just want to pass this along really quickly. Mike Rizzo yesterday told the media that Martinez had felt chest pains. It wasn't the heat-related symptoms that some were speculating in the dugout when he went to the hospital before the Nats hit the road for St. Louis. Rizzo spoke with Martinez, said he was in good spirits. The Nationals do not have expectations for when he could return. But he underwent what is being called a minor procedure. It was a cardiac catheterization. There's no such thing as a minor heart procedure, in my opinion. That is scary. You go to the hospital to get treatment short of breath or having anything to do with your chest. I don't think we should use the word minor. A lot of bad jokes online, by the way. A lot of bad shtick about Davey Martinez.
Yeah, miss me with that.
Which is unacceptable. So I hope for a speedy recovery, and he's back in the dugout very soon. The Nats are fighting for their playoff lives right now, and they don't have their manager while they're doing it in St. Louis.
Yeah, oh, by the way.
But more important than anything else, his health. And you just hope that he's resting and comfortable right now, and
scary,
ideally
man.
Out of the hospital by this point.
It's one of those things where it's almost like it's like mental health, or you know, as you said, something with the heart. You can't see it. You know what I mean? It's one of the, it's so scary because you can't see. Where if you see a guy with a gruesome injury like Trevor Siemian, you know, the curves with the ankle, it's brutal, it's awful. You could see it and it's tangible to you. When you're just sitting there watching a guy, like, oh, what is he? Is he hot? Is he a little, does he need some water? Is he dehydrated? No. Just far scarier. Just a crazy, crazy thing.
Chest pain.
Chest pain, man. Just, oh, it scares the heck out of you, dude.
But hopefully he'll be back in the dugout very soon. I think the thing about the development yesterday that scared me the most was not that he didn't travel to be with the team in St. Louis yet, or you know that we didn't know he'd be back for this Cardinals series, but the idea that the team said they have no idea when he's going to return. Maybe it'll be a day or two. Maybe it'll be a week. They don't really know. That is really scary. So all the best to Davey Martinez as he deals with this health scare and an ongoing procedure that he had done. And the recovery now, and the fallout from Sunday's setback in the dugout. Let's get to Trent Williams, because the Redskins are watching a lot of other teams pull off trades right now, and they're waiting for Trent Williams to come back through the door. Danny, I've been wanting to talk to you about this now for a couple of days. This has been stewing for me. I am officially over the holdout, and I am good on this Trent Williams situation now, period. I actually wrote about this today for The Athletic, and basically the gist of my column is very simple. It is time to trade him. I don't understand any other outcome. I don't know what the end game is here. What is the best case scenario if you wait for his return? He shows back up begrudgingly and reluctantly, not wanting to play for you, but only so that he can accrue a season. He goes out onto the field and you run behind him as much as possible and you try to force feed your way to 7 or 8 wins. And then you're going into his contract year in his age 32 season, and he still doesn't want to be here, and there's more drama all offseason where he's not showing up to any of your activities. What is the point of that when you're not good anyway? You're 0-2, and you're going nowhere fast. You're spinning your tires in a division with the Cowboys and the Eagles, both of whom are way better than you, and we've seen that in the last couple of weeks. They need to trade Trent Williams. Bruce Allen should be working the phones like a telemarketer. He should be on the phone as much as a political campaign volunteer in November. This guy should be calling the 49ers today and trying to get a deal done with John Lynch, who lost Joe Staley for several weeks with a broken bone in his leg. He should be calling New England, who lost their starting left tackle Isaiah Wynn to turf toe on Sunday against Miami. You just heard Ryan Wilson mention Cleveland. There are a bunch of teams like the Browns that could upgrade their tackle spot who are contenders. Two first-round picks were traded in a deal with the centerpiece being a left tackle not as good as Trent Williams recently. Did the Redskins notice that? Why on earth would they not trade him? You're bad. You need young talent. You need draft pick compensation and assets. You've got a gift in your hand in a frustrated, angry Williams who hates you anyway. He doesn't want to play for you. Grant him his wish and move along.
What do they care about? What does this front office care about? When I say front office, I mean Bruce. I mean Dan. To a lesser degree, maybe Doug Williams and company. I think the football people care about the best football product. I think Dan Snyder in the past cared that he didn't like the negative stories, quote unquote, that were being written by Jason Lock and Forrest, so they sought to get him a national job and get him out of that his position covering the team with the Washington Post. They care about that stuff. They care about narrative more than they care about the actual product because they think they can control that. They want to bar certain people. They made Chris Russell do his updates from a shopping mall 2 miles off of campus when he was our beat reporter years ago. They care about that. They care about making these little battles and winning them that have nothing to do with winning football games. The only thing I can think of is they believe somewhere in their deep, dark hearts where they're just not understanding the big picture is if we trade Trent Williams, it means he wins. I ain't giving you what you want. You can't have it, Trent.
But he doesn't win. You get a first-round pick back.
You and I both know that, but they don't, Grant. They think this is my this is not tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. Oh, this is a hot take. This is me trying to say something inflammatory. I 100% believe that they won't trade him let me rephrase. If they don't trade him, it's because they think it will be giving in to his demands. In other words, they think they'll have been held hostage by the whims of Trent Williams, who decides, I'm not playing for you again, trade me. And they think if they do that, then it's a jailbreak.
Maybe.
They think everybody's going to want to get the hell out of
there. Somebody who can get through then to Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen, and I don't know if that's Eric Schaefer or if that's Kyle Smith or if that's Jay Gruden, and it wouldn't be him because he needs to be in the business of getting Trent Williams back and trying to win as many games as possible.
Right.
They need to get through to those people and say, him leaving is not us losing. It's making a bad situation better. It's making a lost couple of months a success story. We turned Trent Williams into a first and a third, a second and a fourth, whatever it ends up being. You're losing games. You're not winning anything meaningful this year. Look yourself in the mirror and properly self-evaluate just once. You need young talent, controllable, young players. The best way to do that is via the draft. Strike while the iron's hot here. You had two left tackles get hurt this week around the NFL.
I mean, it's a no-brainer to me.
even if they couldn't get a first rounder for Trent Williams, Danny, it should still be a no-brainer. You wouldn't take two number twos, think Geis and Preston Smith, for an aging offensive tackle who doesn't want to be here anyway. He's going to be 32 next year in the final year of his contract. He doesn't want to re-sign with you. He's hurt all the time. He hadn't been healthy in a December run. He hasn't been the best version of himself for the stretch run of a season in years. He hadn't played 16 games since 2013. And I love Trent Williams. If it doesn't sound like I do, then I apologize because I like the guy. I think he's awesome. He's a mensch. When he's not holding out and refusing to play, he's actually a pretty good leader, and I think he's meant a lot to that locker room. But this is a no-brainer. This is a completely easy decision.
If you're the Redskins, when I say the Redskins, you're Bruce Allen. What do you think is going to happen? Whenever he does, quote unquote, show up, and we hear these rumors every week, you know, whether it's Schefter, D'Angelo Hall, or whomever, that he's just going to walk through the door, you think he's going to be, hey, gang, can't wait to get back after it here. Let's go salvage this season. Let's go have some meaningful football times. I can't wait to play for you guys. All the negative stuff just went away. If he comes back through the door, you'll have a disgruntled, pissed off, angry, mad as hell guy that has no interest in doing anything for you. He'll just be going through the motions to get himself an accrued season. He'll basically be like Bryce Harper in right field, playing shallow and never diving. You want that?
Well, more important than that, which is true, and we've covered that, is, Danny, the future after that. The fact that Trent Williams has 1 year left on his deal after that, and he'll be 32.
Goodness gracious.
Why are you holding on to him? For what? Where are you going this year? It is more likely than not that you'll have a new head coach and a new staff and a new defensive coordinator, and you're going to be starting over next year. Wouldn't you rather start over with a couple high-round draft picks, including a number one, which you'll probably get back for Williams?
I'm telling you, this is my angle on this is, you need for whomever the next head coach is, the next guy that's going to be in charge, to set the table. Make people want to sit down and eat at your restaurant.
Tell us why we're wrong. The Redskins should trade Trent Williams right now, this minute, today. Bruce Allen should pick up the phone, and he shouldn't hang up until he gets a deal done. 800-636-1067 is the number. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're taking your calls at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. I think the Redskins should trade Trent Williams, and I think they should do it today, tomorrow, as soon as they can. Here's how Bruce Allen needs to operate. He needs to call San Francisco, drum up a little bit of the best offer he can and of interest. He needs to call New England, pit them against one another. Then he needs to get Cleveland and any other contender that needs tackle help on the horn and take the best offer in the next day or so. Move on from this, end this charade, end this holdout, and get back whatever compensation you can. I'd like to think they can get a one. If they can't get a one in something else, I would take a two and a three or a couple of twos. For me, it's you found $20 in your wallet that was in a jacket you hadn't worn in a while, and you'd moved on from that wallet. You'd order new debit cards. This is house money. The guy doesn't want to be here. He doesn't plan on playing. If and when he shows back up.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I think that he will, so that he doesn't lose a full season. He's going to be Marshawn Lynch going through the motions, not happy to be there anyway, not wanting anything to do with you. He's just there. So I'm not getting fined, so I'll talk and basically give you no answers.
I keep coming back to that part. What do you hope happens?
He hates you. Very clear that he hates you.
What is your end game here? What are you working towards? You stick to your guns. Okay, fine. Let's play this out, Bill O'Reilly style, to play us out. What does that even mean? You stick to your guns. You're tough. You know that the fines light up, he'll eventually come back. He's just going to walk through that door like Vince McMahon doing an entrance and he can't wait to suit up for the Redskins again? He's made it very clear. Now, if there's some secret information that Bruce Allen has that I don't have, that you don't have, I will tip my cap. I will say, I was wrong. You were right, Bruce. Way to stick to your guns. I just can't figure it out. I can't figure out what they think is going to happen. You have an asset that depreciates as other people are making moves. You had one window. The first window was multiple first-round picks for Laremy Tunsil from Houston to save their season because Bill O'Brien doesn't know what he's doing as a GM.
And it depreciates, by the way, because he's getting older.
Yeah.
He's injury-prone. And there's less time on his contract, which has two seasons left counting this one, with every passing month. So you get less back for him. My point all along was wait until the season and then drum up the interest and make the trade.
Well, here we go.
Someone might lose a tackle. Two 2-0 teams lost left tackles this weekend.
And Cleveland's left tackle's a disaster.
What are you waiting for? Do this. I don't honestly have one good reason why they wouldn't. My buddy and your buddy, Ben Standig of The Athletic, kind of retweeted what we were talking about and said, I understand both sides. And with all due respect to him, I don't understand the other side.
I don't get it. And I'd love to. I want to get it.
Call me. Why shouldn't they trade Trent Williams? Explain that. Tom in Manassas, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Hey, Bob. Yeah, Danny, I'm with you. Bruce wants to control the narrative. We all know that. I think his end game is Trent will come back to save the season. He can waive the fines and say, look at how great a job he did. But to play devil's advocate, what if he's thinking, like, week 5 or 6, we bring Haskins in, and I want to bring Trent back, and that'll give us a bolt. That's the only thing I could possibly think, is he's holding on to him to for when Haskins comes
well,
in.
Well, because you need Trent to want to come back. It's not like you can just decide that he comes back. Not to mention, pass protection has not been an issue. Now, I think that could change against Chicago
sure.
this weekend and Khalil Mack. But so far, Donald Penn has not looked like an option that you need to hide. If anything, they've struggled running the ball, but protecting Case Keenum has not been bad. Nate, Brandywine.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Big fan of the show.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Danny, I just want to let you know you had me dying laughing with that Vince McMahon comment, because I was just picturing him just shredding down in the
ramp. Because the music says you have no chance, and here comes Vince with his finger guns, man. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I definitely do. Look, man, all I got to say about the trend, man, we need to trade him because we're just wasting time, man. And I agree with you, Danny. I think it's an ego thing with these guys. Like, they feel like that Trent will win if we trade him out. But I feel like we should do that. That's the best way to go, man. We're really wasting time here. We also need to let go of Josh Norman, too. Put him in as a second player when that trade option, because he's been awful for us.
Appreciate you, buddy. You're not getting much back at this juncture for Norman based on his salary and the performance. People see the film. That's a whole different issue. I mean, if you want to have a fire sale before the trade deadline, a la baseball, which doesn't really happen in football, that's a different topic for a different day, but it's one I could probably get behind. But trying to trade Josh Norman right now, you could create some money off your books, but you're not getting anything back. Jack in Arlington.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First time caller, long time listener. I agree with you that they need to trade Williams. I don't think he's coming back, but I don't agree with you that the value is depreciating. I think as the season goes on, as other tackles go down, I think his value goes up. And whatever value they get in exchange for him is not going to be realized until next year in the form of draft picks.
So it's an interesting point. And we talked about this heading into the season, Grant. It's that bell curve, right? There's a time, and you don't know when it is. This is why GMs get paid a bunch of money to make these kinds of decisions. You don't know when maximum value is going to be. I argued that it probably wasn't before the season started, but then Houston did something crazy. They traded 2 first-round picks and a second rounder for Laremy Tunsil. Maybe that was the best value, but that curve goes up. And as the season goes on, you get less and less of time with the player where he can be impactful for you. You all of a sudden have a steep going down curve. You don't know when that
is. The trade deadline's the end of October. Okay, so it's not like you have all season.
Yeah, it's a month away.
It's around Halloween.
Right?
So we're talking about a month. What are you waiting for then? He said you might have an injury. There were two. A team that's 2-0 without a backup left tackle is now working out a guy off the street that might start for them. That's 2-0, the San Francisco 49ers, has a coach that is in a make-or-break season in his third year with the program. You're going to have a better situation for a more desperate team than that. Oh, by the way, the coach was an offensive coordinator calling plays and knows Trent Williams' excellence better than anybody else in the league. His dad drafted him at 4th overall. There's going to be a team that wants Trent Williams more than San Francisco. Andrew in Stafford.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, man.
Just one quick take on this is if they're worried about – if they're delusional enough, and I agree with you that they are, that they think that this season is going to result in something good, do you think they're going to hold out for, or they're looking for assets that play this year as opposed to future draft pick compensation? I mean,
I'm sure Jay Gruden would want that, but I don't know why, if you're in the front office, and this is the issue where you need the people making the decisions for the next several years to be the people that are going to be around.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're Kyle Smith, who may end up be the general manager by this time next year, if you are Eric Schaefer, who's not going anywhere, those voices in the room have to be saying, enough with worrying about October and November. Enough with that. The best possible outcome for 20, 21, 22, that's what we've got to do. Sean Doolittle, closer, Nationals, joins us next on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We will be giving away Nats tickets to see the team take on the Phillies when Bryce Harper's back in town at 12:45 today. Make sure you're listening in an hour right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, our weekly Tuesday 11:45 appointment with Sean Doolittle, who came in the seventh last night and got a strikeout with a changeup, actually punched out a pair of the three batters he faced. The Nats ultimately gave up a couple of runs in the inning when Hunter Strickland was summoned on a two-run double, and they lost 4-2. Sean, much appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on. How you been?
I've been good. Thanks for having me. Good to talk to you guys.
So let's start with the clubhouse, man. You guys have lost 9 of 14, and suddenly the Cubs are a half game back, and the Brewers are only 1.5 back. You had a 7-game lead in the wild card just a couple of weeks ago. Are things, while getting literally tighter, figuratively getting tighter as well, or are you guys still loose?
No, I think we're still loose. I think, like we kind of talked last week about, the schedule being what it is, the quality of the teams we've been playing combined with a lot of games on the road. The travel schedule has been a little grindy. I think we kind of knew that, the race might get a little bit tighter and that we were going to have to grind this thing out. So like we talked about last week, we knew we're going to have to earn it. We're going to have to kind of absorb some body blows and win some close games, find a way to win some close games and get back on track. But when you got the starting pitching that we have, you come to the ballpark expecting to win every single game. So I think, right now we find a way to squeeze out a close one, and I think we'll be off and running again.
You mentioned those close games, Sean. They're not going your way right now. I mean, look at August. You guys were 1,000,002, whatever the record was, scoring, 10 runs a night. It was obviously a lot of fun, a lot of high fives. Your hands get sore from doing all those. But now all of a sudden it's been a little bit more boom or bust here in September. That's got to put more pressure on a bullpen though, right? Where you know that every time you come into the game, it's those high leverage situations you guys talk about.
Yeah, I mean, but in that's kind of, it's a little bit of an occupational hazard when you're a reliever, when you get down to crunch time, whether it's must win games in September or games in the playoffs, you're not going to have those blowout wins in playoff games, not very often at least. So, these are situations that we're going to find ourselves in, hopefully in October, and we got to find a way to get it done. So, we got to find a way to pick each other up and continue to, get out.
Sean, do you guys have a pretty good understanding right now of what roles you have in the bullpen, or are you currently role less without a true closer or setup man? Last night you pitched in the seventh. I don't know when the last time I saw that was.
we have an idea for sure, but one thing about where we are right now in the season and kind of what's at stake, and I think the same can be said for the playoffs, is roles start to they become even less defined almost right now, because you're playing to win every game. You're playing to win every inning. So you might bring guys in different situations, maybe earlier in the ball game. You might try to play the matchups a little bit more. you know, you see it in September and obviously into the playoffs, you see teams go to some guys in different situations, maybe try to get a little bit creative, not stuff that they've normally done over the course of the season. But they, you know, they came to me yesterday and they told me to be ready early as the only lefty in the bullpen. You know, the Cardinals, they don't have a lot of lefties in their lineup. So, they said there might be a chance. We'll try to play some matchups, in the sixth to the seventh. Otherwise, you know, be ready, towards the back end of the game. So, that's kind of life as a lefty reliever. You're just kind of always on call. So, they did a good job communicating, and I was ready.
Sean, obviously far bigger deal than what's going on with baseball and what's happening on the field is Davey. What have you heard? And obviously we're thinking about him and you guys kind of going through this. It's such a strange thing. What did you hear? When did you know it? And give us the deal. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I don't have a ton of details. I know Mike Rizzo addressed some of the media yesterday, and he had some more details on some of the stuff that Davey was having done in the hospital. And I don't know enough about it to really comment on the specifics of that. But, you know, anytime you're talking about something, you know, with the chest or the heart or something, it's not something you take lightly. It's obviously something that's super serious. You know, obviously we're thinking about him. It sounds like the news so far has been good, which is obviously something that's very positive. There was a strange vibe after the game on Sunday. You know, we pull out a win, a shutout, but it was, you know, everybody's kind of thinking about Davey and hoping that we're going to hear some good news hopefully soon. And, you know, he's back in DC. I don't know when he's set to rejoin the team, it's been tough. And like you said, it kind of puts things in perspective a little bit. We're grinding this playoff push out right now, but you know, obviously that's far more important, and we're hoping to have him back in the dugout soon.
Sean, we're going to be asking our listeners in the 1 o'clock hour if they think you guys will get into the playoffs, and if they do, what gives them that confidence? I'm sure that you think that you guys are getting in, so kind of coach us up. Why is it going to happen?
Hey, like I talked about earlier, I think our starting pitching is the best in the National League, and they give us a chance to win every single night. Like I said, we come to the ballpark expecting to win every day because of how good those guys are and how good they've been all season. You know, offensively, I think we've shown that we can score a number of different ways. You know, we have guys at the top that can set the table and use their speed to get on base and get into scoring position. And obviously the middle of our lineup, I don't know if there's a better 3-4 combination in a lineup than Soto and Rendon right now. So, you know, it's also a veteran group that's not going to panic just because, you know, we found ourselves with our back against the wall here in September. You know, we kind of feel like maybe we've had our back against the wall since late May. We've played, there have been so many must-win games, you know, over the last 3 months for us that, you know, we feel like we're battle-tested and we're going to find a way to get this thing done.
John, thank you as always, buddy. Talk next week and go get the carts tonight.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
See you, man. Love having Sean Doolittle on the show. Be well. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Our Beltway Blitz is next in a 12-18. Which Redskins do you need to get more out of starting in week 3 coming up against the Bears?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.